Yes, indeed. Welcome back. It is February 15th. A Monday, of course, 5:30 in the evening. And if you are hearing our voices, that can only mean one thing. You are tuned in live to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. And this is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. Want to thank all of you for spending some of your evening with the nonsense it is we do around here. We also want to thank some of our underwriters, some of our old trusty underwriters that help keep the lights on. And of course, I'm talking about North Rim Adventure Sports, offering bicycle sales and rentals, cycling apparel and equipment, and a bicycle service shop. North Rim Adventure Sports features Trek Bicycles, USA, and other brands at 178 East 2nd Street in downtown Chico. And, of course, online at northrimadventure.com. Like I mentioned, appreciate y'all rocking with us. We got a big show coming up. Me and the homie Derek in the building. So with no further ado, people, let's get to it. TBP starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm one half of your host, Jarrell Gilbert, and alongside me, my partner in crime, the co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
It is good to be back with you on another Monday evening. Happy President's Day to everybody. If you have the day off work, shouts to you. Even if you're unemployed, shouts to you.
Yeah, I guess you have it off. I mean, do people get President's Day off? I don't know. I haven't been on one of those jobs in a long time.
I got President's Day off today.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess day after Thanksgiving, day after Valentine's Day, you know, it's a nice little recoup date, I guess, for some people.
Any Monday off.
Ah, obviously. Mondays. Anytime you make a weekend a three-day weekend, it's always a lot better.
Okay, so I was reading this thing today, someone complaining about it being President's Day, and like it used to be Washington Day and that Washington owned slaves. You could literally make the holiday named David Duke Day and name it after the KKK Grand Wizard, and I'm still taking it off. Okay?
As long as I get it off, yeah. I don't have to actually do anything for the guy, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I'm not celebrating a specific person. I am celebrating me today. Memorial Day, different. Labor Day, that's for us, you know?
I just feel people just need to, you know, stop being so looking at everything with such a malice comb in your hair. You know, stop finding two. Like, get it. All right, those presidents, they're all bad. Were they all bad guys? To our standards, yes, because they didn't have standards. But you know what? They all took on a job that none of us want to really do. Do I want to be the president of this country? No.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Awful.
The person who's probably best equipped to be president
never
would
wants
never
to do
want
it.
That
never
job.
Wants
right,
to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
These guys all fell on a sword. They probably all willingly wanted to, but you know, hey.
Well, I thought this was something that you actually might appreciate, because one thing we talked about recently, and I think that's what I'm about to bring up, is kind of what we're echoing right here, is how everything now, the way the media covers it, is the worst it's ever been. Right?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
So
yeah.
This election was the most mean-spirited, worst election that we've ever had, worst president. Da, da. So I wanted to read a passage that was written, or that was in paper, and so it was in print during the election of 18. I don't have the exact year. It was a long time ago. It was in the 1800s. It was John Adams against Thomas Jefferson. Okay.
Okay. All right. So you're talking about our third presidency, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it was quite some time ago.
Yeah.
And John Adams called Thomas Jefferson a mean-spirited, low-lived fellow, the son of a half-breed Indian squaw, sired by a Virginian mulatto father.
Wow, dude, those are...
a little racism, a little... He called him mean-spirited and low-lived, and then a little racism in there. And then, speaking of Thomas Jefferson's presidency, he said, murder, robbery, rape, adultery, and incest will be openly taught and practiced under Thomas Jefferson. The air will be rent with the cries of the distressed. The soil will be soaked with the blood, and the nation black with crimes.
I mean, if you could see the country now, you'd be like, I told you so. man.
This is all because you voted for Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, y'all. Y'all had him as a third. This is where we end up right now. John Adams, man, he calls the future right there. So
he absolutely did.
I do want to give a quick shout out because we're celebrating President's Day right now. But I want to give a shout out yesterday night to all the guys out there who were scrounging at Safeway to get their last little bit of Valentine's Day shopping.
Let's talk about it.
I have to say, pride of me a nice little happy place in my life as I was walking down the aisles doing my grocery shopping, realizing I had no one to actually buy for. I had no one to go home to, no one to cook for other than me, myself, and I, my three favorite people.
Yep.
And seeing the people, the look on some of these guys' faces as they were just struggling to find anything. Now, luckily for them, Safeway keeps it stocked. You know, there's always, you're always going to be able to find a couple of flowers, your old candy galore. So they were in luck. But, you know, you could definitely see just everybody in there was in there for...
It was a scramble.
I was going at nighttime. I was probably there around like 8:30 at night.
Okay, I just missed you then.
And then I tell you, everybody in there was just like, card? Flowers? Yeah. All right, we're good. Oh, I got something going together. And like you just see people putting it together in the actual store. It was beautiful. Shouts to you guys for making it happen.
I like it.
I wonder if it's... If you always forget, I guess...
I have a theory about this, and this actually brings me to this.
You know what really grinds my gears?
The lack of planning tax that different stores put on flowers on the day of Valentine's Day. Now, fellas, if you're in a cool relationship, you shouldn't wait till Valentine's Day to get your girl something, you know?
I'd say every class, if you want it, here's a good move for you all guys out there. Luck, you kind of got away with it because it was on a Sunday, but you got to have flowers delivered to your girl wherever she works.
Yes.
It's a must. You have to do it. If you're not doing that, you're not going to have a girl for much longer.
Agreed. However, if you weren't in a position where you could plan ahead, in this case, and send her something to the house, and you find yourself in a situation where maybe you live with the girl and you want to surprise her, flowers shouldn't be taxed. Okay, there was a dozen roses in a vase yesterday for $55 at our local Safeway.
I mean, they'll get you right there. I mean, that's why you got to plan ahead.
Those flowers any other day of the week are $24.99.
I mean, that's called capitalism at its finest right there.
Yeah,
supply
I mean,
and demand. Supply
no
is,
doubt.
You know, yeah,
no
they,
doubt.
They really just, want, the demand really went up and the supply is, you know, it's still there. But, you know, why not squeeze these guys for all their worth?
And let me just give you a pro tip, fellas. The Saturday market in Chico, Farmers Market, best flowers in the game. They'll last you weeks on end, way longer than Safeway flowers. And they're $8 for a fat bouquet. I go there all the time. So there you have it. Just trying to help our friends
I mean,
out.
I wish we could give you guys this episode a week earlier because it probably would have been helpful then.
It probably would have.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, probably it's a lot funnier to laugh at your misery than give you advice to avoid that because then we won't need to laugh at it. So
yeah, no.
Now you know for next year.
Yes.
But you're going to forget it, and then we're going to make fun of you again for forgetting it.
Right, and then we'll give you tips on how to do it better afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, after
the vicious cycle, guys. Vicious cycle.
As we've done for the last, I don't know, 21 weeks, 22 weeks now, we start our Monday shows with football. So why would this Monday be any different just because the Super Bowl was last week?
I mean, there's definitely, you know, football all around, you know?
Yeah, so we're going to keep it going. Ladies and gentlemen, foot and mouth.
39 was last year, and he could barely, like, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot and Mouth. No!
That's right, y'all. Football continuing on a Monday for you guys, because it doesn't stop. You know, the world of football, it's not just here in America. It's all across the world. This entire globe of ours. And it's being played all the time. It's beautiful. Now, we're talking football right now because it's one of the biggest sport that's really going on right now. And a lot of stuff to talk about. It's kind of hard when there's no sport to talk about and we're a sports show. So we got to find and claw our way to content. So
Well, to be fair to us, we did do it during the pandemic when there was literally no sports.
Yeah, I mean, we've always done it. We're not saying that we always do it for you. We're just saying, you know, without the football there, it makes, I'm not saying our job harder. It's just we got to scour a little bit more, and we got to dive into certain topics that we don't usually do when it's football Mondays. But this is Football Monday, so we're continuing down that tradition. If you guys aren't following suit and aren't a big football head, you're in luck, because this is the week to start. Huge week coming up, guys. Why? Champions League! Champions League! Oh, my goodness. All right, Champions League is back, y'all. Champions League comes back tomorrow with a bang. Like, heavy banger, y'all. Heavy banger. We're talking top-notch footballing going on. Barcelona, PSG, it's going down.
Mm.
This is a huge rematch of a 2006 conundrum that PSG went through when probably all of the whole footballing world came to a standstill as they watched Barcelona utterly devour PSG 6-1 to get over the quarterfinals into the semis when they were dead to rights.
Mm.
Now, as a PSG supporter, someone who was watching that game, it was a terrible game to watch from yes. my perspective. Anyone else's perspective, anyone else's is probably the most exhilarating game of football you'd ever witnessed. Mm. Anyone else. PSG supporters, the worst 90 minutes of your life. As you saw a lead that looked insurmountable
yep.
be conquered like that.
I was there with you, my friend.
It was a tough one. I didn't like it at all. and I haven't had to think about it for quite some time. Every single time any of those videos come up on my feed, I quickly scroll past. I don't need to relive it. Haven't had to worry about them for quite some time. 5 years. But you know what? The footballing gods wanted to dangle this carrot in front of all of us and said, hey, take a bite, y'all. It's going to be a good one. And what did they do? They made it even more enticing by pulling out Neymar for this one, too. Why? Because Neymar got hurt this past weekend. And like he always does, is out for a period of time when we most need him. PSG is going up against Barcelona's squad that is kind of into form right now. They're finally able to, a team that's, they're looking like the Barcelona of old. The Barcelona that has a guy like the name of Lionel Messi on that squad. So they're dangerous. At the same point in time, they have a fragility about them. Why? Because there's that impending doom of Messi leaving that club.
Mm.
It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't been officially announced, but everyone can just feel it's on the tipping point where he's going to be leaving that squad. So this could be his last run. And maybe why not make a last hurrah of going for that Champions League title? They desperately want it. They have it held that trophy in far too long for that squad in particular. So it's coming on 12 o'clock, y'all. Champions League. Now, if that's not your cup of tea, you want something a little bit different, I don't know why. Maybe you're a Liverpool fan. I don't know why that would happen. But you also got that game going on, too. Liverpool versus RB Leipzig. That's going on, too. That's a big matchup. Why? Because Liverpool is in the crapper.
Yeah.
They're living on the toilet bowl right now. And they're just circling the drain, just waiting for the season to be over. They cannot wait for it fast enough. The Premier League is out of reach for them. The Champions League.
That happened quick, huh?
Very quick. Pretty much two weeks.
Yeah.
Pretty much they had a chance. They were in the top four. They're fighting for position. Everyone was in the mix. And then Man City decided to stroll through and said, you know what? This is my territory. This is my table. Go sit at the little kids as the adults dine. And that's what they did. And Liverpool has been dropping points left and right. They lost to Leicester City this past weekend, 3-1. And if they get into the top four, that'd be a win for them this season. They might not be in the Champions League next year with the way that they're playing, the way the season is going out, and with the way that the teams are clamping at them. Anywhere from two to ten, we are looking at any one of those teams can make it into the top four. From 2 to 10, any one of those teams can make it. And it's going to be a spectacular finish. So the Premier League is super spicy, y'all. Super spicy. And I mentioned Champions League. It's going off. Coming back tomorrow, Wednesday. We got midweek football. Great football going on in the midweek. Oh, my gosh. Oh, dude. Oof. Slight chub just thinking about it. Now, I do have to give a mention to all of these Italian lovers out there. Why? Because the Serie A just got even. Oh, fantastimo. My goodness. AC Milan drops huge points. So does Juventus. Juventus losing to Napoli on a huge game. But what does Inter do? They come in and seize the opportunity as they leapfrog over AC Milan, and they have themselves a lead in the Serie A, going for that Scudetto title. My goodness. Milan is popping right now. AC Milan, Inter Milan, they're fighting for it. When that derby happens, man, it is going to be one to watch. I'll let you know when it happens. You got some time to worry about it. Other than that, Champions League. It's coming back tomorrow, guys. That's what you want. Tune in. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a loser sitting on my couch at 12 o'clock just watching that game. praying that I don't experience the pain I did 5 years ago. I mean, I won't because it's still the first tie. It's the first leg. But yeah. It's still fresh. That wound will never be completely healed. Because my heart was ripped out and stomped on. And then it was eight and then poof back out and then stomped on again.
What a graphic picture.
I mean, it was a very graphic day. I had to. The way that PSG just floundered in that that loss to Barcelona 5 years ago. But it's a new year, y'all. Again, no Neymar, but still. The stars are out, y'all. Mbappe is there. You got Messi there. What more could you ask for? Champions League, that's Foot and Mouth. Tune in, guys.
There you go. Make sure you check out Foot and Mouth, the podcast. You and Will have been doing a great job on that.
They'll be coming out this coming Wednesday after the Champions League games have gone on, so we'll give you a full recap of that.
There you have it.
More in-depth looks into it, y'all.
It's just a fun pod all the way around. So if you're not, do us a favor, all right? If you like this show, go download the podcast. And here's the great thing, guys. You don't have to listen to all of them. You don't have to listen to any of them. But I do ask that you subscribe, rate, and review. Listening, optional. But again, help us boost our numbers. Go download that.
Easy stuff from you guys. Nothing more, okay? That's we don't expect.
Talking about
you guys,
practice.
You know? Yeah.
TALKINBOUT practice. Wherever you get your podcast. All right. So speaking of the podcast, the last podcast we did on Thursday, you and I, you're Finnish. We discussed that your name is actually pronounced Isomäki. And many people, including myself, upon first meeting you, think that you're half white, half Japanese, and in fact you are half Finnish, half Mexican, correct?
It's a mixture of white, half white, mixture of white, and then half Mexican. So I'm more Hispanic than I am anything else.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But your father is predominantly Finnish, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So I said I would quiz you on the pod, but before we get to the quiz, I wanted to give you a Finnish fun fact for the day.
Let's do it, man.
Finland, with a population of only 5.4 million, has over 3 million saunas, which is more than the 2.8 million cars that are owned in Finland.
I mean, it's cold up there, so, it's cold. Hop, sauna, you know?
Yep. No, it makes sense.
I mean, that's like a sauna on every corner right there.
Yeah, a lot of saunas.
That's an impressive amount of saunas.
A lot of sweating.
I mean, I would assume that probably every household has a sauna then, it seems like.
Yeah, I would imagine.
That's just like a common thing to have. Like, we have pools in our backyard. They got saunas.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
No one wants to go swimming when it's like negative 20 degrees outside. You want to sit in your sauna.
I really wanted to build a sauna at my house. And then I realized that I don't have the space nor the knowledge on how to really do that.
In theory, it sounds great. Yeah.
I mean, I watched a couple DIY videos and all of a sudden I think I'm Tim the Tool Man Taylor out there.
I mean, you probably are because it's going to blow up when you start putting it together. So
No doubt. I'll probably burn it down.
But at the same time, I mean, as much as the sauna is, like, I don't think that's too much luxury for me. Like, if I just have a sauna in my life, I just feel like that's incomplete. Like, that's just not, I'd rather, if I only could have a sauna in my life, I don't want a sauna then.
Really?
Like, if that's my option for my backyard is to have a sauna in there or nothing, I was like, I'd take nothing then. A sauna is just like, I don't want that. I just, because I would only use it, like, specific occasions right now. It's not like something I can do hey, come on over and join my sauna, guys.
No doubt.
Like, that's not something you want to, like, that sounds like a luxury time. Let's go sit in your sauna. Like, I'm sure it's relaxing when you're freezing cold outside, but for me to, like, have friends over and said, hey, let's enjoy the sauna.
Well, no, of course not. I don't spend a whole lot of time hanging with my friends in saunas, but with COVID, it's been really difficult to find a sauna at the gym that you can go into still, you know?
I mean, I feel like it's super hot in there. I don't think the COVID can survive in such heat. So I think
but isn't the sauna closed down right now?
I've been able to go into my sauna. So sauna it away.
All right. Well, looks like I won't be building one either way. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, either way.
Moving on.
Saunas, y'all.
Saunas. Finland has a lot of them. I did want to talk about NBA just real quick. We could discuss the playoff race. We could talk about how good the Sixers are. Blah, blah, blah. If you really care, I mean, we'll talk about that closer to playoffs. Right now, I did want to talk about your Lakers, though, with Anthony Davis going down with the strained calf. That's not looking good, my guy.
I mean, it's on his Achilles again. So he's strained his Achilles tendon already, and it seems like he's re-injured that one again. So, not when you're Robin's out. It's hard for Batman and Robin to be Batman and Robin, you know?
I mean, as far as the MVP push goes, this does give
Oh, LeBron's loving the spotlight right now.
Yeah, it gives him a better shot at it. That's for sure.
He likes the look of just like putting the team on his back. You know, like he just like, yeah, look with me. I'm carrying the team without Anthony Davis right now.
But the fact that he could potentially do that at 36 is pretty
insane.
Still
spectacular.
It's pretty insane.
No doubt. So, shouts to LeBron for being as spectacular as he is. I still don't like him.
No, I understand that, and you probably never will. He could win another 5 championships for you guys, and you probably would still not like him. Yeah. Do you think you'll be back into the Lakers a bit more once LeBron's no longer on the squad? Because you obviously still are a Lakers fan and would identify as one, but I would say, as far as my estimation of your view of like the your top squads, they've kind of moved down. I think it always was like Lakers Dodgers, then Lakers, and then PSG or Panthers kind of floating around. And I feel like PSG has been charging hard up that as
I mean, the Lakers are definitely the squad's not the most fun squad for me. I feel it's hard for me to truly get behind them just because like in certain degrees, LeBron James is like a cheat code, you know,
and fair,
it's like it's trying to have like that. When you're on that franchise mode and you just get the best team possible, it's like, is it really challenging anymore?
Right. Yeah, your best
to win and like slam dunk on fools left and right, but it's just like, nah, yeah. It's just hard for me to really like, yeah, this is my squad.
Understood. I would say, too, your guys aren't homegrown, so that makes it kind of...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we get rid of LeBron, I'll become a big AD fan. I have no problem with Anthony Davis.
Okay.
I mean, that unibrow is something else, you know?
It really is.
It makes me wonder why he... I guess it's part of him now, but still.
That seems like a weird thing to want to brand yourself around. You know, I feel like you could do better.
I mean, he doesn't have much else to go off of, though. He's a very bland dude, so I guess the unibrow's all he's got. So he's like, I got to go with what I got, and what I can do is the middle eyebrow, so let's go with it.
Yeah.
I have no personality. I'm a dud of a dude, honestly.
that's true. I did want to ask you about this. This is just a hypothetical I was tossing around the other day. After watching the Tiger Woods documentary, it got me thinking, just the NBA, and if I could watch a documentary, like a no-holds-barred, like honest doc, not one that is made with Jordan, where he's talking about his own legacy, but one that is like made by a third party, but gets some people that were close to it that come out and talk. If you could do it about any NBA team across any era, which team would it be? Because there's a lot of great ones out there. I'm talking including off the court stuff, everything.
Of course, yeah. That would be, I mean, there's obviously some easy ones to go to with the Lakers and with the whole Kobe and Shaq situation.
Sure,
that
sure.
would be fun to see that whole road. Honestly, for me, I'd love to see the Utah Jazz after they lose to Jordan for the second time and just want to see the despair and just like desperation of like anger inside of John Stockton and Karl Malone's like face and just see that whole franchise just like crumble and see what happened there. So that to me would be, I think that'd be a fun one to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, for me personally, obviously the We Believe Warriors, because that was just such a moment in time for me, and they all smoked weed and partied all the time. So I think that would be a good one. But I mean, the obvious one is the Showtime Lakers, right? Like,
they have definitely some, a lot of.
Just running LA and running rampant and doing all sorts of crazy stuff off the court and.
Yeah, no doubt.
Being legends in their own right would be a good one. So, yeah.
Some good ones out there. I mean, there are definitely some fun teams that were for sure. You want to see the nitty gritty. I want to see the anger and despair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the salacious stuff, and you just want to see people be disappointed and dejected.
I mean, you got to feel that, you know, Utah probably had a really bad time after they lost to Jordan again, you know?
Yeah.
I got to feel it. Yeah,
you can't really bounce back from that one.
They never did.
They never did. They still haven't.
Still haven't, no. Yeah, I'll just say.
I guess, hence, why you said never would imply that they still haven't done it.
That's usually what it means, yeah.
All right, well, on the pod, we were doing for a while Friday foursomes when we used to record the pod on Thursdays, which we still do and release it on Fridays. So I don't know why we don't bring it back. That's easy content. But the basic concept behind it is it's a foursome throughout history of a certain genre or topic that you would go golfing with. So you and three others. So this week, in honor of President's Day, we're going to do former presidents, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, do you want to lead it off?
Yeah, I'll go.
Right, go ahead.
Just give me all my three right now. So, all right, I got to go. The legendary number one, George Washington.
Yep.
You know,
seems
guys,
easy.
Of all the dudes that are out there, all the past president, he's probably the one with the best knowledge and I feel would have some great insight as to what's wrong with us all, as opposed to what John Adams. Actually, John Adams, he would have the best insight. He knew it all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, obviously, George Washington, number one. Second one. Now, this might be controversial, but I'm going this route because he's got access to all the best clubs. So Donald Trump, he's going to be my foursome as well. Dude can play golf. He slaps the sticks around. Yep. He knows how to handle that shaft, and he's got – He knows all the golf courses to go to. I'm just saying, he owns half of them. So, you know, I feel like his in with the golf courses, it's a good reason as to why to have them.
Sure.
And then last but not least, rounding out this rather interesting foursome we got going on. So we got George Washington, we got Donald Trump, yeah, myself, and then ending it with Calvin Coolidge. Now, the reason why I say Calvin Coolidge is because I got George Washington and I got Donald Trump there. They're already two big personalities, I feel. I feel like there's going to be a lot of talking. Calvin Coolidge, he just needs to shut up and just play ball. You know, he's not going to be there, but he's also, at the same point in time, smart mind, too. Like that dude. Kind of went with Calvin Coolidge because he's the first president that came into my head as I was thinking of a third one.
That's fine.
So
that's what I figured.
Calvin Coolidge, y'all.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Mine, easy. JFK, number one. I want to ask him about Marilyn Monroe. I want to ask him about the Bay of Pigs. I want to ask him. I have all sorts of questions, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to ask, the main question I want to ask him is, who do you think killed you?
That's a good question. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I want to know his theories on that. Number two, got to go with Barry O, first African-American president. The dude can hoop. Since he's an athlete, I'm sure he could play a little golf. He could swing the stick out there. And he just seems like a good time. I think Barry O would be a good time. And this one is probably a little controversial with everything that's gone on the last few years, but I think he would be a good time, for better or worse, too. Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, obviously harassing all the girls on the course.
Don't bring the cart girl around him, you know.
Yeah. Might get a little touchy-feely, but you know, bring the sax out. Let's just have a good time, you know?
Now, I'm going to change my Calvin Coolidge. Okay. That was not a good one. He's definitely out.
Is a good name to say.
Yeah, it is Calvin Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge is a great name.
It's the top five best presidential names we've ever had.
Yeah.
Up there with Herbert Hoover, too. I mean, anytime you got double, the same consonant in both times, you're living large.
Is that alliteration? Is that what we're doing here? Alliteration.
Yeah.
All right.
So my next one, you mentioned it to me because you said JFK right now. And who doesn't love a good dead president to bring along for the ride? Because they got the best stories, you know?
Yeah.
So Abraham Lincoln, that'd be an easy one to go
easy,
with.
Easy money, yeah.
Easy money to go with. Who doesn't love a good dead president? But I'm not going to go that route.
Oh.
I'm changing it up a little bit.
Oh.
I'm going James Garfield. Why? Because I need to know more about that guy being killed by an anarchist right there. That's something that I feel it would be a little more interesting. And the guy, James Garfield, you know?
Yeah.
Come on. It's a good name, too.
It is a good name.
We have some solid named presidents out there, I will say.
We
can talk all the crap you want on them, but they've all had some pretty legit names.
Barack Obama,
That's a strong name.
Donald Trump, strong name.
Woodrow Wilson,
strong name. Yeah, that's very true.
James K. Polk, strong name. Martin Van Buren, that was the name I was going for. That just sounds proper.
That does sound proper.
Like, I would love to have a president named Martin Van Buren.
Sounds like he should be a Sir
Martin Van Buren.
Yeah.
Like, for sure. Like, that's Chester A. Arthur. There we go.
Oh, that's a good one.
We've got some solid names.
We really do.
Yeah, there we go. Presidents, good names. Not great dudes.
You're right. Oh, man. All right. Well, we're going to get to your news here in a minute. We got a lot to get to still. We want to thank you again. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, right here on FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. People powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You got your man, Jarrell. You got your man, Derek, in the building, as always. And we want to thank another longtime supporter of the show. TBP is made possible by Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullens has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico, and they can be reached at 342-1055. Again, thank you for rocking with us this evening. It's always fun to do this show. We've been doing this. It's funny. Derek and I were talking about this the other day. Like, I was not ready for that. I'm sorry. I kind of killed it. But we were just talking about how long we've been doing the show. And for 7 years, man, some iteration of the show. A lot of people have been on, a lot of guests. We just keep doing our thing, man. And y'all keep listening for some reason. And we want to thank you for doing so. And we are up to 1,000 downloads. You know, it was difficult for us because we had to, we basically lost our feet. And for those of you not familiar with how the streaming works as far as podcasts and numbers and all that, your feed is everything. So once you subscribe, you automatically download our podcast. And that's how advertising is judged and all those numbers. And what happens when you lose your feed is all those numbers disappear. And we had listeners all over the world listening, and it's not super easy to find us once the feed disappears, because we put in years of work where our numbers went up, 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 meaning our podcast ranking went up, which meant it was easier to find us. And so we had to start our feed over. We did it at the beginning of the pandemic, around April, May, somewhere around there. Yeah. We've done over 50 shows on there now, and we have over 1,000 downloads, and that's thanks to y'all. So again, we appreciate it, and make sure you go download it, because it's helping us grow what was but a dream. Us working in a cold-ass garage, trying to put stuff out on SoundCloud.
I mean, we're putting out consistent content there for you guys, so there's always something out there for everybody.
Yeah, but that brings me to my point that I really want y'all to go follow us on TVP Not a Game on Instagram. You've been doing great work on the Minutia Minute. Our man Juan Uriarte, he hooked you up with a great logo. And the Minutia Minute for Valentine's Day, I mean, you've had some great ones, but that, my friend, that was excellent.
I got to give a shout to Juan for that one. He was the one who's like, you know what, I got this logo in Valentine's form for you. And I was like, you know what, I got to utilize it. You guys got talent. I need to showcase this off to the world. Let's do it. So I had to get one out for the people out there, because Valentine's Day is a day of love. And we love love way too much. And I need to tell people not to love love so much and to back off on the love being of love, and allow some logic to creep into that love and not love love so much anymore. So
there you have it.
Check it out, y'all.
All right, yes, make sure you go check that out. All right, with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, most people's favorite portion of the show, Derek Isamaki with the news.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
Sorry. Hopefully that's the right number that I gave to you, Aaron. I really hope you get it.
No, because... you're good. You're good.
Okay, that's right, y'all. Time for the news. So I brought up last week how much I appreciate laughing at people's stupid decision-making when they put themselves in predicaments that land them in a bad situation all because of their own doing. And I highlighted Gorilla Glue Girl last week. If you don't remember that story, Teresica Brown ran out of her hairspray and needed something to keep her hair down. So what did she do? She turned to the next object in her cabinet, Gorilla Glue. Now, Gorilla Glue, for those of you who aren't aware, is one of those super heavy-duty hardware glue styles. And it's not meant for your personal use, especially on your skin, in particularly on your hair. That's not what you want to do with it. Now, unfortunately for Teresica, when she put that in her hair, she was unable to get the glue out, because the glue was doing what it was supposed to do. It was holding your hair in place forever and ever, because that's what Gorilla Glue does. Keeps it and holds it in place forever. Now, she unfortunately got into a bad situation because, like I said, she wasn't able to get it out. She had to go to the emergency room, which they eventually were able to get her out, and she's now got a little bit shorter of a hair right now. Her hair is a lot shorter, actually, because she pretty much had to cut it all off to get out the glue, because that's what happens when you put Gorilla Glue in your hair. It doesn't come out. So it's doing its job. It's doing a good job. But unfortunately for... Fortunately for us out here, there was a man who thought that the whole Teresica Brown's Gorilla Glue story was just a hoax. Thought she was just doing it for the clout. I mean, which it worked. The woman got clout now. The woman has got herself a full-on a celebrity team right now. She's got a manager and an agent and everything. Girl's trying to make this 15 minutes last as long as possible. She's even got merchandise out there. So if you're a fan of this Gorilla Glue Girl, you can get merchandise of her with her Gorilla Glued hair. But back to my new subject of the day. Because, again, this dude thought... Was it something this woman was doing for clout, not an actual problem? So what did he do? He decides to try out the glue himself, but he does it a very weird thing. He puts it on his lips and then proceeds to put his lips on a red Solo cup, which then proceeds to get stuck on his mouth. And there is a fantastic photo of him in the emergency room with a red Solo cup looking like a nose, like a red nose, almost like a clown right now, over his face. So, careful, y'all. You don't want to mess with Gorilla Glue unless you're trying to glue stuff together that's not your hair to your head or your mouth to a red Solo cup. So, Len Martin, when you're trying to put that red Solo cup to your lips next time, be thankful you don't have Gorilla Glue on this stuff, you know? It's a bad look, dude. Bad look. But again, actually, hilarious look. It's a funny, it is a hilarious picture of look at this, man. This is the picture of it. We got...
Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, he's sitting in the emergency room.
He looks like a duck.
And luckily he's got his mouth covered with his face mask, but then it is right below a red Solo cup that is covering his nose and pretty much his eyes.
It's amazing. Yeah. It really is.
Solid work, y'all. Now, I bet you this guy will probably get some clout, too, off of this. So maybe he can, you know what, you got to use Tariska Brown's, her style, and just turn it into your own, man. Make shirts of that picture right there, and you got yourself a $1 million idea. You're welcome, brother. You are welcome for that advice. Now, the news is obviously, I always try to find as funny ones as I can possibly get. Ones that obviously make me laugh, that I'm hoping will make you laugh too. Or make you scream in horror because you found it terrible that I would find something so horrible and horrendous funny. That you would ridicule me, which I'm prepared for that to happen. It should happen. I do have a terrible sense of humor. But every once in a while, I have a soul that comes out. And it gets weakened a little bit by certain stories that are just nice.
You have a soul?
Every once in a while it comes out.
Wow.
Certain stories touch it in certain ways. And this is one that is actually a really cool story. Now, back in the day, DeCato. Stephen DeCato. I apologize.
There we go. Stephen DeCato.
Stephen DeCato. Was a former military man, and he was at one point in time stationed in Antarctica, where he was setting up shop down there for over about a year and a half. He was down there 18 months. He was working down in Antarctica. This is during the 50s. He's getting himself building up a station down in Antarctica during his time with the military. Now, as he's about to leave, he unfortunately loses his wallet in Antarctica before he returns back to the mainland. Never saw that wallet again. This is back in the 50s, so this is over 50 years ago. He's thinking, that wallet's gone. No need to worry about it anymore. Now, cool little story comes out. As the station where he was working at had gone through some reconstruction, they found that wallet of his over 60 years later and were able to return the wallet back to the man.
Awesome.
Because the man is still alive and well. And Stephen DeCato got reunited with his old billfold, which I love when they call
yes.
it that. His old billfold,
yes.
Which we had a lot of interesting trinkets for him to remind him of those times when he was back in Antarctica building up that station from
awesome.
His old military ID, which I'm sure he looked a lot younger in and a lot better and probably couldn't even recognize it anymore. Some tools in which they, some advice, I'm sorry, a card in which it gave you advice on how to survive the Antarctic. Otherwise, it was just a cool little story about this guy being able to reunite with his long lost wallet over 60 years ago, and he lost it in Antarctica, which is a crazy little story right there. So, Stephen DeCato, hope you like that bill. I wonder if there's any money in there, too.
Yeah, I was curious about
like,
that, too.
A couple bills in there, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're... Every once in a while, those old bills get, you know, make go shoot up in price.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah,
you never know. All right, y'all. That's the news.
Awesome. Nice touch on the end there. Bringing it full circle. Nice little...
I can't, you know, doom and gloom all the time, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
You gotta have some sunshine and daisies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you operate in the shadows, but I understand. Sometimes you gotta come out into the light.
You know?
Yeah, I get it. All right. Well, we now bring on our foreign correspondent, speaking of Antarctica, Aaron Isamaki. Aaron, are you with us?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm hoping that Antarctica is not a negative connotation, though.
No, not at all. Are you getting snowed on right now?
A little bit. We had a nice snowstorm this weekend, but fortunately it was the weekend, so it wasn't so bad.
Because I was just hearing today that today is the coldest day across the states. The median temperature is the coldest it's ever been in recorded history. So I was just wondering.
I mean, it's cold here. I don't think we got above 32 degrees, so we're with them.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we bring in Erin in because she covers the sports that we're too lazy to. So usually we do a little bit of hockey.
Fuck yeah.
But today we're going to do some tennis and some fighting. So a little bit of UFC talk. Usman fought this past weekend. Can you shed some light on what went down this weekend?
Yeah, Kamaru Usman fought Gilbert Burns, his former teammate. He was defending his welterweight title in UFC 258. And, you know, this was a big fight. It was pretty hyped, mostly just because of Usman. But it started, and Gilbert came out fist flying. For the first minute and 30 seconds, we thought this was going to be a good fight. He landed some good punches. He kind of knocked Usman off his feet a little bit, not actually knocked him down, but he was reeling a little bit. And then Usman came to life, and it was lights out for Gilbert. Usman looked incredible in the second round, was just punching him like crazy. And then 34 seconds into the round three, he kept landing the punches, and Herb Dean called it. So Usman has officially defended his welterweight title, and he's the one to beat.
What's up next for Usman, would you say?
Well, so he was calling out Jorge Masvidal, because the last time they fought in June, Jorge Masvidal had taken the fight on 6 days' notice because Gilbert Burns had backed out because of COVID. So supposedly, Usman has been trying to get this fight with Jorge Masvidal for months and months and months, and Masvidal will never commit, never say yes, will never try to make it happen. But 6 days out, Masvidal says, okay, I'll fight you. Is this true? I don't know. But I want to see him fight Masvidal. I want there to be more notice. I think that I think Masvidal deserves it, you know, because 6 days' notice isn't enough. And he needs to beat Masvidal, I think, to really claim the number one title or the greatest welterweight fighter of all time.
Yeah, I lost a decent amount of money on that Usman Masvidal fight, so I probably should have asked you before I bet any money.
6 days, not a lot of time to get ready for it all, you know?
Right, it's just like, you know, the Chiefs going into the Super Bowl missing their starting left tackle and their starting right guard. So, you know.
Well, the right guard went to the left tackle.
Left, well, yeah, but he was,
He was on the right guard,
All right, moving on. Let's talk some tennis, because I have some sound for you, too. We're going to do a new little segment. Instead of bad dating advice, I think people are a little tired of love stuff after Valentine's Day. So we're going to do sound of the week. But before we get to that, I do want to talk about this Nadal story.
It's a fun story.
Yeah, all right. So enlighten the folks that are not familiar.
Yeah, so the Australian Open is happening right now. Nadal is about to serve during the second set to Michael Moe, and all of a sudden you hear some shouting coming out from the stands, and you hear this lady yell, "Hurry up, you OCD expletive!" And Nadal is like, "What? What?" He's looking around. He starts to laugh. She's still joshing him a little bit, but he's laughing. You know, he's being really gracious, but the crowd starts booing her. They are not having it. She's yelling at him. Nadal is confused, and then everything quiets down, and he's about to serve again. And what happens? Right as he's about to serve, this lady calls out wanker, and this is Australia, keep in mind. She's flipping him the bird. She's losing her mind. They decide to kick her out. It was pretty hilarious. I think Nadal handled it really well, and the crowd was not having it, so it was a good time.
Awesome. Just awesome.
I was seeing the highlights of that, and I was initially thinking the lady was drunk or something, but apparently she wasn't at all. She just doesn't like Nadal at all. Apparently she went on the radio after that happened, and it was like, yeah, I just don't like the guy at all, and apparently she's like gone viral, and she's like loving it. So props to this lady. I love her.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so Erin, we're going to do Sound of the Week, and you are going to be the deciding vote, okay? So This first sound is Nick Kyrgios talking about Novak Djokovic. Nick Kyrgios, if you're unfamiliar, he's kind of what he's kind of considered like the troll, kind of a bad boy of tennis, right? Like, is that
true?
Yeah, is that kind of a fair description?
He's an up and comer, yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna pit these two sounds against each other. This is Nick Kyrgios, courtesy of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts podcast, and here it is.
A very strange cat, Novak is. You know, heck of a tennis player, but. I unfortunately, as someone that's partying with his shirt off during a global pandemic, I don't know if I can take any slack from that, man. Like, that's as bad as it gets for me.
Okay, Bill, last question. Thank you.
That was a good answer, bro.
My favorite part is the end. That was a good answer, bro. To his
very
own.
Very proud of himself.
Yes, very proud of himself. Now, all right. So, Derek's co-host, Willie T, and my friend Will, aka Bill, we are working on a new segment called Bill and Cliff Reminisce. And basically, we're old. We're both 36, and things are just changing at a lightning speed nowadays. And so we basically just reminisce on old stuff and talk about, you know, how life was simpler back in the day. Now, if you have children near you, they probably won't understand this commercial, but I just want to give everyone a warning. This commercial is a little obscene, but this is an actual commercial from Corn Nuts that used to run on air back in the 90s. I remembered it, and I looked it up the other day, and I asked Will today if he remembered it, and he did. So you've been warned. If you have kids, maybe cover up their ears or change the station for 1 minute and 2 seconds. That's how long this clip is, this little jingle. But this is an actual jingle that was played on the air from Corn Nuts. Are you ready, Aaron?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
This is a song about Corn Nuts, an intensely crunchy snack. It's not about anything else.
Go to your room and lock the door, because when you try it once, you want to try it some more. Size doesn't matter, and that's a fact. It might be small, but it's a big impact. Bust a nut, bust a nut. Grab a bag of Corn Nuts and bust a nut. They're lightly toasted and hard as hell. Enjoy yourself, we won't tell.
There's a second verse.
Everybody does it, they like it a lot. You can do it in school, just don't get caught.
Don't get caught.
It takes a few minutes if you don't delay. Take your time, it could last all day.
Bust a nut, bust a nut. Grab a bag of Corn Nuts and bust a nut. They're lightly toasted and hard as hell.
Enjoy yourself, we won't tell.
All right. There you have it. So judging from this...
A real commercial, huh?
That's a real commercial, I swear to God. Wow. Yeah. Yep, yep. That's why I gave a warning. It's a little aggressive. But of those two sounds, which one would you say is the champion sound of the week?
You know what? I'm going to have to give it to Nick Kyrgios for just congratulating himself, just so overtly being so proud of himself for just something that's so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
He really wanted to bury Djokovic right there. He's like, I just want to make it known that I don't like Djokovic.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then pat himself
really
on the back for doing
himself.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. To respond to your own answer with, that was a good answer, bruh. It's amazing.
I'm brilliant, my man. What else do you want from me? But I will say, bust
a nut. And the irony being, he was giving Djokovic a hard time because, you know, he was kind of crazy, but.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Real quick before you go, so last night on Flipside Radio, I had my listeners write in about their worst Valentine's Day stories ever. You're married now, so, you know, I'm sure that's not an issue now, but do you have any nightmare Valentine's Day stories from your past?
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give a little piece of advice. Ladies, keep your expectations real low. They're real low. You can't be disappointed. And that's kind of what I've done with my life. And then you just get to a point where you're like, I don't know. If we don't do anything, couldn't be happier.
I kind of miss those days when everyone was your Valentine. You know, when you're a kid,
yes,
everyone was your Valentine. You know, you had candies for everybody out there in your class.
Yep.
That was a beautiful time. I wish we could go back to that. That day, because it was simpler times. You didn't have to worry about who was your Valentine. Everyone was your Valentine. It was beautiful.
It was. It really was.
It was like Halloween part two.
Exactly. Why can't we go back to that? Everyone wants candy. Why can't we just have Valentine's Day be Halloween for grown-ups? You know, why don't we just flip the script? Kids, you give us candy. I think that's what you should do. Valentine's Day, kids give adults candy. Here we go. Starting a new trend.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Also, Valentine's Day, little thing for the ladies out there. It's really annoying when you're like on your social media or whatever and you're desperately pleading like, oh, I'm single. I don't have a Valentine right now. That's too desperate, and I can guarantee you there's plenty of guys out there who would love to be your Valentine. You just don't want them to be your Valentine. You're trying to do it for someone specific out there, and it's just a terrible plea. So don't do it, guys. Stop being that desperate. It's not a good look. If you don't have one by that point in time, don't profess you don't have a Valentine.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, the day of, probably a little too late.
Yeah, just rock the single boat. Just keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Go to Safeway and make fun of all the guys out there that are sweating it because you don't have to. All right? It's a great thing.
I'm with you. All right, Aaron. Good work as always. Thank you. We will talk to you next Monday.
Talk to you later, guys.
All right, later. That was Aaron Isumaki, our foreign correspondent, always bringing just the heat.
Always, yeah.
Always. Yeah. All right. So a couple news stories that we haven't had the time to get to yet. We used to do a segment or a little play on words when we'd say get that shih tzu out of here. And I think this particular topic works for it.
Yeah, very much so.
All right, so for this week's Get That Shih Tzu Out of Here, we are going to break down this whole Lorraine Groves, who asked for an apology from Tom Brady for tossing the Super Bowl trophy from one boat to another. Lorraine explains that her father, Greg Groves, is a master silversmith who worked for Tiffany & Company from 1967 to 1994 and crafted the first ever Lombardi trophy. And she says, and I quote, "It just upset me that this trophy was disgraced and disrespected by being thrown as if it was a real football." Now, the trophy itself actually has a real football.
It does, yeah.
Or is modeled after a real football.
I mean, yeah, it's not the most tossable object out there.
Yeah, I actually thought the toss was really impressive, but what else would you expect from a six-time or seven-time Super Bowl winner?
Right, I mean, of all the things we can go down this road, ways we can badger this lady for being trying to bring the spotlight onto her right now when her dad's not even making that trophy anymore.
He's right.
Stopped in 94.
Right.
You're not making a trophy.
Right.
You're not the silversmith, so I don't need you talking. But for her to have the audacity to complain about the best thrower of a football and the best catchers of a football to participate in that, that's like no respect there. No respect for those guys at their profession. Those guys are professionals and the best at what they do.
Yes.
Throwing and catching a football, and that's exactly what they did. And you're getting mad at them for doing that?
If anyone is owed an apology, it's Tom Brady for you doubting him that he could throw the Lombardi trophy with pinpoint accuracy to one of his tight ends, Cameron Brate, who's been open all season. What are you talking about, lady?
Gronkowski on the other end. Either way.
It was Brate that caught it.
Either way, there were hands galore around there that we're going to let that drop.
Hall of Fame hands right there.
And she had the audacity to think that they shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, Lorraine Groves, you owe Tom Brady an apology for ever doubting him.
He never questioned a goat like that. That is not, I mean, apart from the other things of like, that's not your trophy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like someone saying, like, a car salesman, like, selling you a car and then, like, getting mad at you for getting in a car accident. Like, how could you? I just sold you that car and you got in a car wreck? How could you do? It's your car, man. You can do what you want.
You can do whatever you want. You can
not mine anymore. I got my money already.
Right. She added to this comment, she said, "I've seen this trophy being made at the factory at Tiffany's, and it's a beautiful trophy. My father had to chisel the seams. He had to chisel the seams by hand."
Does she know what happens to Lord Stanley's cup on a regular basis?
Yeah, they drink beer out of it.
I think a lot more stuff's gone into that thing, too. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if someone's pooped in that trophy before. Use it as just a toilet. That's how they respect Lord Stanley. Use it as a toilet.
Yeah.
It's like be loved. Yeah, use it as a toilet. Talking to people like, yeah, he pooped in his toilet. Ah, it's great. They would love that if something like that happened.
So, again, Lorraine Groves, get that shih tzu out of here. We're done with you.
Not needed.
Not needed at all.
I mean, I appreciate you doing that because you gave us some, you know, fire to our show right now by being able to.
Yeah, you gave us a little something. Yeah. On a slow news Monday.
Yeah. And a lot of people had fun with you. And I hope that you continue to have your life ridiculed for being that disrespectful to the GOAT of throwing footballs.
Agreed.
When he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
Agreed. This hypothetical I saw come across the TL the other day. If you could be good at any one sport that you never played, what sport would it be?
Probably like some type of extreme like winter sport, I think.
Yeah.
I would say like I would say downhill skiing, but like that doesn't sound that cool. Like they, because they have to wear a stupid uniform. Like I hate having to wear a super, probably like a downhill, like probably like a
snowboarder,
like supercross snowboard, something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, I think anything along those lines. I think like a professional dirt bike rider would be sick, or
ski jumper would actually be kind of cool.
Yeah, the big air ones.
Yeah, big air. Yeah. But again, still a stupid uniform you have to wear, but you're still flying through the air.
A skateboarder would be pretty cool. I can't skateboard for jack, so that's always been on atop my list of things I would be good at that I'm not good at if I could be good at something.
I've hurt myself too much on a skateboard. I don't need to. I've tried too much. I know it's going to go down that road for me. You know, I'm not meant for that type of wheels underneath my feet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not meant for me either. Yeah. I think it's...
That or maybe surfing, actually. I think
surfing would be sweet.
I think that would be...
Especially if you could be really good at it to where you're sponsored and you're just going all around the world to where it's sunny and warm and being at the ocean every day and just, like, hanging 10 and, like, catching in the gnar, bro.
Because I do watch a lot. I have followed a number of surfing guys because they put up some of the most amazing videos.
Their videos are insane.
Surfing videos are the coolest things they ever watch.
Yeah, surf video that beats any other basketball mixtape, skate... video.
I mean, you're able to bring in waves in there, and just as like it's just beautiful, and like I hate the fact that
you could just shoot the scenery, and it's an awesome video.
Oh yeah, I'm watching it. Put some cool
music behind it. There you go.
I'm glad that we're on this topic of kind of obscure sports because
let's do it.
I went on this weird trend the past couple of days where I was really into every once in a while I get really into like Everest and the Himalayas and people hiking up there, and in particular I've been really focusing on K2 lately.
Okay,
and I watched this crazy documentary on it last night about K2, and I'm just like baffled as to what these people are willing to do to go to these heights in the world. It, like the amount of people that scale, like for every four people that make the top of K2 for every four people that make it to the top of K2, one person dies.
Whoa.
And more people have been to outer space than have been to the top of K2.
Whoa.
Like Everest is pretty much a walk in the park compared to K2. Like so many people summit Mount Everest on a yearly basis. It's like I think they have like 100 summits a year, something crazy like that. But K2, very different story. It's been less than 400 summits ever, and I'm literally watching these documentaries and seeing what these guys are having to, like, they're on like these ice picks, they've got packs galore, you could barely see in front of you, it's a complete whiteout, and you're almost, they're like going up like a sheer cliff of these, of this mountain of K2, and I'm like, I'm watching it and I'm freaking out, like I'm literally like, oh my god, like I'm imagining myself in that situation. I know I probably just freeze up and like...
Oh God. Are you kidding me?
I mean, you get me above like... It's like they're 8,000 feet, 8,000 meters in the air. That's 25,000 feet up there. I'm like...
I hiked Shasta back in the day and I was like, this was terrifying and a lot of work.
I know. Like people tell me going up to Mount Whitney is like a crazy hike. That's only 15,000 feet.
Yeah.
That's where their base camp is for like...
Yeah.
Gnarly.
Thank you.
High altitude hiking, that is some extreme.
What a lot of people don't realize is, like, just on Shasta, for example, it has its own atmosphere.
Yeah.
Its own climate system up there.
It is nuts.
People don't, I don't think hikers, or I should say specifically mountain climbers, get enough credit for what they do because it is insane.
It is nuts. And I mean, I was looking at the views they had, though, were spectacular. Like, it makes me kind of want to go to the Himalayas just so I can kind of
get
to that
area. Oh, it's insane, yeah.
And just to be able to view it because, I mean, I've always talked to my mom. My mom's a big climber, loves to go there. She's always said she'd want to do base camp at Everest, just go to the base camp. Like, she wouldn't actually try to attempt it.
Sure.
Too much. And I think I would be down for something like that. Just to be able to get to the valley of where you're around those monsters, those beasts. And it, I mean, it's crazy. Just that Himalayan mountain range, like, that's where all the tallest mountain ranges are. It's either way.
So just to give you some perspective for our North State folks out there, Mount Shasta, 14,189 feet, K2, twice that size, 28,251 feet above sea level.
Like, we think we have it, yeah. It's
insane.
Dwarfed.
Oh, that's crazy. Do you want to knock out a couple of grinds my gears real quick before
Let's
we get out of here?
Yeah, and on a good note for this.
Yeah, we got time for one.
We've been too nice on this show, I feel.
I feel like we have, yeah. Give me 1 second. Sorry, but we'll end it with a bang here. All right. Whenever you're ready, sir, I'm ready for you.
Let's go for it.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Why can't cable providers provide me with the same number channels? You know, like, why does my Xfinity and Spectrum have to be two different channels? Like, why does my NBC have to be the different on each one? Like, why can't you just have a little meeting beforehand and say, hey, let's make all the channels the same? Because I remembered it what they were Verizon Fios. Now I got a whole new system. I got to learn all the new channels. DirecTV, Xfinity. It's too many. Just make them uniform, y'all. Just help me out. That's all I'm asking for, cable providers. I gave you enough money already. I gave you a ton of money already. All I'm asking for is a little helping out me. I know you never want to, but just a little simpatico on the channels would help me out a lot.
Yeah, but that'll never happen, you know?
No.
Yeah, why make things easy when you don't have to?
No, yeah. They never do.
Don't make it easy on the customer. That's what really